The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, rewards. How should rewards motivate a Christian to serve God? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on this episode. So if you have questions like this one or others, we are currently answering questions from listeners just like you. You can reach out to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. By the way, before we go to today's discussion, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference that's coming up pretty soon. You can find out more about it by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. You can even register right there online. We're in the space age, you guys. We would love to see you there. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
And a special welcome to everyone who listens to us every single day. A lady came up to me at the St. Louis conference. I say a lady. She's probably younger than I am, but she's a mom. And she's like, I listen to you guys as I'm doing my laundry every day.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's so good. I mean, my mind is just blown away by people.
So a shout out to the people from the St. Louis conference.
Yes, from Fenton Crossing Bible Chapel, Kevin Fitzgerald and his wife Cindy, who were really kind of the engines on that side of thing to kind of get us to get out there and help organize a conference, and went off without a hitch, super smoothly. Me, Lucas, and Ken did the speaking, and it was just all around good time.
Good. And what was the theme?
The theme was
it was free grace theology,
introductory issues, and more cutting edge issues. It was good. I think it was a good conference.
And that was you and Ken,
me,
Yates,
Ken, and Lucas.
And Lucas Kitchen.
Yeah. Here's a question. This is a question. We're still kind of going through questions from the North Carolina conference that you did.
Chapel Hill, yeah.
The Chapel Hill one. Here's a question here. In what way should rewards motivate a Christian? Is the fact that rewards are given or withheld the reason we serve?
First of all, let's answer the second question. The answer is that's one of the reasons we serve.
It's a reason.
It's a reason. It's not the reason. Number one, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ because we're grateful for Him dying for us and Him giving us the free gift of everlasting life.
Right, it's because we love Him.
We love Him, and love is a powerful motivator. Secondly, we also serve Him because we know that if we do not serve Him, we will reap the consequences. What we will reap if we rebel are death-dealing consequences. It doesn't necessarily mean immediate death, but what it means is we're on a path that's a downward spiral. That's why people who become drug addicts and alcoholics experience so many negative consequences in their life.
Right.
Anybody who walks in the far country is going to experience what the prodigal son experienced,
right,
which is want, and no one gave him anything. And so as a result, we also obey because disobedience produces pain and suffering. And we also obey because obedience produces blessings. Not only blessings in this life, but what this person is asking about, which is eternal rewards. Well, there are rewards now as well. In other words, if we serve God, then we're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, and we become a blessing to those around us. Also, of course, they should motivate us both in terms of rewards in this life, but also in terms of rewards in the life to come. And that would mean we should long to lay up treasure in heaven. In fact, Jesus commands us to do that in Matthew 6, especially verses 19 to 21. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We are commanded to set our heart on heavenly treasure. And I think of that as what I call instant winners. In other words, every time we pray or give or fast so as to be seen by men, which are the three examples Jesus gives in Matthew 6, then there's no eternal reward. But if we do those things to glorify God, and we do those things secretly, we're not trying to impress others, then we're laying up eternal treasure. And the same would be true of when we share our faith, when we pray, when we worship. when we're just doing our everyday job, when we're being a good parent or a good driver. All those things are laying up treasure in heaven. And there's also the perseverance prizes, which includes ruling with Christ and various rewards which go along with that. And so we should be motivated to persevere to the end because, and I think here's the key, Sean, we want the Lord's approval. And if we persevere, one day we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so wanting his approval is a good thing, because just like we want the approval of our parents or our teachers or our spouses or our bosses,
right,
the ultimate approval we want is God's approval.
Right.
What God has built into humans is the desire for wages and reward. And so all of our human relationships are based on this principle. Name a job where you're not interested in getting paid.
Right.
Even if you're a volunteer, right, you want to be paid. What you're paid is the joy of helping others.
Right.
The joy you get from helping. And if you're working, you want wages. The same thing is true in our personal relationships. We marry because we want to have joy with this other person. We want to have children, and we want them to experience joy and,
sure,
them to give us joy,
well,
right?
I think what you're saying is there's self-interest. You know, we have self-interest, and that's not selfishness.
No.
Self-interest just means God has given you this life, and you have better or worse outcomes, and you should want to have a better outcome than a worse outcome.
Don't you think that's part of the image of God? I mean,
we're supposed to love ourselves, right? That's the
right.
People just think it's just two loves, but it's actually three loves. We love God with all our heart, mind,
right,
soul, and strength, and we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It's actually three people involved.
I like that.
Let me ask this question, because I get asked this from people in the hyper-grace kind of side of things. They don't like this idea of rewards because they think it's basically just not gracious. It has nothing to do with grace, right? Because when you're working for a wage, you're getting a payment. And Paul's very clear that when it's a matter of work and payment, there's no grace involved. And so their criticism is this whole idea of eternal rewards and working for it and trying to get these points is basically just taking the legalism that most other religions put in salvation. Like they would say, yeah, you have to work for this to get saved. That's totally natural. We all have this desire to work and get points and be saved. And that's how salvation is. And we're saying, no, salvation is free. But then we're taking that whole scheme and we're putting it onto rewards. So does it kind of just land people in the same type of legalistic mindset of, man, I need to do this. I need to earn this. I need to get this. And if I don't get this, I'm worse than the other person. And
no,
see what I'm saying?
See, that's a huge mistake. I mean, before the fall, what did God tell Adam and Eve? Go in the garden and just hang out?
No, he told them
nothing.
To work. Yeah.
Oh, no, they were supposed to work, really?
Yeah.
Why? Was that performance?
Yeah, well, what was it for?
Yeah, well, it was because God wanted to have this garden tended.
Uh-huh.
He wanted them to be fruitful,
right,
multiply, fill the earth. That's the creation mandate.
Right.
And what happened was they sinned, they ate the forbidden fruit. Then mankind was not going out to fill the earth, but they were building this tower at Babel, and God confused their languages and forced them to go out and fill the earth. Mankind was not initially going that way. It seems to me what you're describing is a misunderstanding of the word grace.
Okay.
I have a chapter on that in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. Grace in Romans 4, 4, and 5 basically refers to gift. But grace often in the scriptures refers to favor. And it can be man's favor, or it could be God's favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah,
yeah,
found favor. Why? Because he was working for God.
Right.
He was walking with God. God blessed him. And favor there refers to God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And all through Scripture, favor is often the blessing of God.
Okay.
And so it's a mistake to say we don't have any sort of work expectation. Of course we do. We're told to be fruitful.
Do you say, though, that that leads to the same type of legalism? People are thinking they need to work for their salvation. Is working for rewards different?
It could lead to legalism. Here's how it could lead to legalism. Let's say I think that somehow I'm competing with all the other believers in the body of Christ.
Right.
And so I'm trying to squash other people and keep them from glorifying God. And I'm trying to somehow win.
Yeah.
That would be wrong because the way in which I lay up rewards is by helping other people be more productive. The more I help other people, the more you help other people, the more we all win.
Yeah.
And if I somehow think in a worldly mindset that I'm not serving Christ, but I'm serving myself, well, then everything crumbles. And so I can only lay up eternal reward by glorifying God. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say I'm the pastor of a church, and I think what I really need to do is make a big income. And what I really need to do is have a lot of prestige.
Right.
So what I need is thousands of people in my church. I do some research and find out some gimmicky ways I can bring lots of people in and that I can keep them. And what happens is I stop preaching the Bible because I find from the literature that that doesn't really produce a crowd. But what I start preaching is self-help books. And I have little gimmicky sermons. In fact, I don't really preach much Bible because I find that people really don't want the Bible. What they want is to hear how to have a happy marriage and how to have good finances.
Sure.
And so what I do is I give a string of pearls approach. I have a little Bible verse here and there, but mostly I just preach illustrations. Well, that's popular today, and it leads to results, but that wouldn't be pleasing to God.
Wait, just let me just get this straight. So this pastor you're describing, I'm not quite sure how he's working. Is he working for rewards? He looks like he's trying to draw a crowd, but I don't. What are you trying to say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, A, he's working for rewards in this life and that he wants to get a big salary and he wants to have a lot of acclaim because he's got this big church.
Okay.
But B, he may deceive himself into thinking, if I have a big church and I make a lot of money, that shows God's pleased with me and I'm actually laying up eternal rewards.
So he's trying to get eternal rewards but in the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not trying to do what the Bible says. Instead, what he's trying to do is what makes sense to him. Remember Judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes?
Yeah.
Well, a pastor can do that.
Okay. Well, I don't know who asked this question. Actually, I do. His name is Brad. So, Brad, thank you for your question in North Carolina. I hope that answers it, maybe provokes some thoughts. We'd love to hear from you guys, as always. Send your emails to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how faith is related to receiving the Holy Spirit. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.